What's the last thing we talked about? We talked about Zechariah Hanavi, correct? Is that the last thing? Huh? Yeah? So in Divrei Yamim, we talk about Divrei Yamim, the Pasuk of Malachim, again, Malachim, we sort of gloss over some of the not-so-pretty episodes in Malchus Yehuda. So we said the story after after Yehoyada was Nifter, so then the Sarim came and they made Gayash into a god, so to speak, because he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that whole story there. And then, so the Pasuk had said, the Rebbe Hashem sent Zechariah ben Yehoyada, and they killed him there in the Beis HaMikdash, and it wasn't, it was a big chet for Klai, so we said for hundreds of years, the blood was bubbling there. So here, back to Malachim, Pasuk, Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, it says, Od Yalech Hazal Melech Haram. Then Chazal Melech Haram came, so it doesn't say here in the Pasuk in Malachim what happened, but Rashi tells us after Yehoyada died and Yahush made himself a god, and etc., etc., the story we just said. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset, and he sent Chazal Melech Haram, Vayilachem al Gat, and he fought with Gat, Vayilkida, he captured it, and then Vayosim Chazal Panaval, so Yishalayim, I think that's the last thing we said, so he turned and he turned his sights towards Yerushalayim. So the pasuk says here, "Va'yikach Yahayash Melech Yehuda." So Yahayash Melech Yehuda took eight kolakachim, asher ekdisha eshapar v'hayrim achaziah v'aita Melech Yehuda. He took all of the kodesh, the money of Hakdish that his forefathers had, the treasures that Hakdish had, that is all the kings before him had been makdish, had brought and gathered into the Beit Hamikdash. Ves kolazav animtzur ba'isus Beit Hashem u'Beit Hamelech. And all of the gold that was there in the storehouses of the Beit Hashem Beit HaMelech, Vayishlach LaChazal Melech Haram, and he sent it to Chazal Melech Haram, and he bribed him with all this money to leave and not attack Yerushalayim, Vayam Yerushalayim, and Chazal turned himself away from Yerushalayim. So he warded off that attack, so to speak, that danger. However, it was a very heavy price that he gave away. All these treasures. So the Malbim points out that the Navi is trying to teach us what chait could do, what chait is gairim. If you remember, Yayish is the one here who was mechazik. He made this whole campaign to rebuild the whole Beis Hamikdash. Right, number one, the way that Malvin himself explained it, well, there was two different stories, one of Malach and one of Divrei Yamim. One of them, he just fixed the problem. The other way, he wanted to mechadish in Beis Hashem. He wanted to really redo the whole place. And here, so says the Malvin, what is chayit being gairim? Shagam shahoy lo yischus. He had a big schus, Yayosh. But meshi ishtadu laharbis kodshi habayis. But aveira mechaba mitzvah. There's a concept of aveira mechaba mitzvah. And it's an interesting thing, because you think to yourself, of all things he has to give away from the Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash is his biggest chus. His biggest chus. And yet there's this concept of Aveira Mechava Mitzvah, that if the Aveira comes along and he serves the Avodah Zarah and he doesn't remain with his chus, so the very schus that he had, he ends up losing. The schus that he had of Mechazik Bedek Habayis, in the Beit HaMikdash itself, all those treasures and all the things that they collected and all the money and so on and so forth, and it wasn't even from him. The Pasuk says, all his forefathers, Yehoshaphat, Yehoram, Machaziel, these are kings from before him. All the Malchi Yehuda, he had to go and he had to pay it off because of the chataim that he did of the Avodah Zarah, and of killing Zechariah and so on and so forth, ended up he had to go and pay it all off to Chazal not to attack Yerushalayim. So that's what the Navi is trying to teach us over here, this concept of Aveira Mechava Mitzvah. The answer Divrei Yayish Pasachav V'chal Asher Asal Leim Ksuvim Al Sefer Divrei Hayam L'Malchi Yehuda V'Yakumu Avadav V'Yikshu Kasher. What was his end? So the Zavadim got up and they made a rebellion, and they went and they killed him. This was the place. So they went and they made base Milay that's going towards Sila. They went and they rebelled against him. V'yazachar ben Shimas, v'yazavim ben Shaymer, avadav, hiku, v'yamais, v'yikrus, v'yavaisa, v'yadavir, yimlech, amatzid, v'naitachta. So his servants got up and rebelled against him, and they killed him, and his son, Amatzid, became the king. Now Rashi tells us that in Divrei Hayamim, in Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Chavav, it calls him Zavad ben Shimas Hu'amoynis. We call him over here v'yazachar ben Shimas, so we don't say what he was. Over there it says Hu'amoynis, and the second fellow, V'yayzavad ben Shimer, over there calls him ben Shimris, it says Hamayavis. So the first one's mother was an Amoynis, and the second one's mother was a Mayavis. Says Rashi, Lama Pirshu Akasub, why did Torah say, or why did Navi tell us where they were from? The Lamed, Shenifra Mimenu Akadosh Baruch Hu Ayedei Anashim Kayotzibay. Hashem punished him with people who were the same as him. Why? Yovei Amoynim Amayavim. The Amoynim Amayavim should come. Who are these Amoynim Amayavim? We know them already from Chumash. Kfuyei Taiva. Shekafu B'Taivatim Shalav Ram Avinu. Sha'asa Lelait. Shenilcham Imamalachim Latzila. Ben Sakhuaz Bilam Lekalaz Bana. So therefore the Amoynim Amayavim are the epitome of Kfuyei Taiva. Let them come and kill the Yifra Miyayish. Let them punish Yayish. Shekafa b'teivasa shel Yayada. Remember, his Rebbe was Yayada. Not only his Rebbe, he's the one who saved him. He hit him in the Beit HaMikdash. V'harag Zechariah b'nai. And instead of being Makitaiv, he killed Zechariah, the son of Yayada. So he's also a Kafi Taiva. Yave Kfuye Taiva. Let the Kfuye Taiva come and be Pireya and punish a Kafi Taiva. Because you have to remember, in Malachim it doesn't say the story about Zechariah. It was only in Divrei Hayamim the story of Zechariah Novi. So in Divrei Hayamim it makes sense that over there, right after the story of Zechariah Novi, it tells us who killed him, Namainis, in the Mayavis. In Malachim, where we glossed over the whole thing, we don't even have the whole story, so it leaves out because that's not the issue here exactly, Amoynim Mayavi. You won't know the difference. Who cares who they are? You don't know there's any other story. But over there, it specifically tells it to us, so we should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes through the Mishpat, the person could see what the Aveir itself was, and here you see it clearly, the Yavei Kfuye Taiva and Bipirea from a Kafui Taiva. So they came, they rebelled against him, and they killed him, and that was his end, and Amatzi Binoi now became the king. So Bishnat Esim, Mishal Shana Liyash Ben Achazi Malach Yehuda, Malach Yehoyachaz Ben Yeyo Al Yisrael Shemrun Shvat Reshana. So we were now in Malach Yehuda here, in Malchus Yehuda, we're flipping back to Malchus Yisrael for a minute. So while Yayash was still the king, Yayachaz ben Yehu was the king, Vayasara ben Yashem, he also went in the minig of his forefathers, Vayelech HaKachati Zerov Menavach, Hashem Yisrael Yisrael Mimanu. Vayicharaf Hashem Yisrael, Vayitnem Biyad Chazol Malach Haram, Uviyad ben Hadad ben Chazol Kol Hayom. So now, Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Klal Yisrael, and if you remember, that when we were Mamlech Yehu, I'm sorry, when we were Mamlech, when Elisha was Mamlech Hazael, he cried and he said, I see what you're going to do to Klal Yisrael. And because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Klal Yisrael, so through all the days of Yehu, Hazael was always attacking, and not only Hazael, but his son Ben Hadad also was always attacking Klal Yisrael. So now, Vayichal Yehoyachaz Espnei Hashem, because of all these troubles, so Yehoyachaz, who is Ben Yehu, we're talking about the next generation now, Yehu's son Yehoyachaz, so he was suffering still from Aram, like his father suffered, so he dived into Hashem, because of all the suffering, Vayishmei Lov Hashem, and Hashem heard him, not because he was such a big tzaddik, we just said he wasn't such a big tzaddik, he was a pretty big rasha himself. However, because he saw the Tzar of Klal Yisrael. So the Rabbag points out over here on this pasuk, he says, even though Yahya Yachad was not Roy, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should listen to his tefillah, But Hashem listened because of the lachas of Yisrael. And the Rabbag says a very, very, he says the following statement. If not for the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu heard the tefillah of Yayachaz, Hayukalim Aseres Hashvatim. That would have been the end of the Aseres Hashvatim. Aram was slowly wiping out the Aseres Hashvatim Malchus Yisrael. That's what it's saying. So from this Rabbag you get a picture of what the pasuk here means, the pasuk Gimel. Vayicharaf Hashem Yisrael vayitnem biyar Chazol ben Hadad. What do you mean vayitnem? So they had a couple of wars with them? No. If not for this, says the Rabbag, that would have been the end of Aseres Hashvatim. The Tufar Bris Hashem Yisbarachim Hashvatim Bavor Ahavis. That's what the Rabbag says. If not, this would have been the end of them. And then, but that's a problem. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to wipe out all the Shvatim. There's a bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to wipe out the Shvatim. There's a bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yichlecha mehem. They're going to have Gemiri. The Gemara says Gemiri. We have a Kabbalah. Like Kala Shevet. The Shevet will never be totally destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris. The Shvatim are going to remain. Now, so Hashem listened to him. So what happened? The pasuk's not clear what happened. All it says is, in pasuk A it says, "Vayiten Hashem liYisrael Mashiach, vayetsu mitachas yad Aram, vayeshu v'nei Yisrael baleim kismol shilshem." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here we're talking about Yehoyachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to Yehoyachas' tefillah. What did he do? He gave Klai Yisrael a Mashiach, a Savior, Vayetsu mitachas yad Aram, and they left the rulership of Aram, and they lived Baleim Kismal Shilshon like they always did. Now who was this? This is really didn't happen yet. It's going to be the next generation. Yayacha's son Yayash. Yayash is the one who's really going to save Klai Yisrael. So between Pasuk Dalin and Pasuk Hey, what happened? So the Rabbag says he would say as follows. He says, "Va'achshoyv." This is what I think. Hashem listened to Yochas Tefillah. That Tefillah helped. That Klal Yisrael was now guarded. They were safer than they were before. His lashon is Shelo Yetzer B'lohem Chazoel B'zeh Ha'Oifen Hanifla. Chazoel will not make trouble for them. B'zeh Ha'Oifen Hanifla, in this unbelievable way, Shayamashes Bahem, that he was destroying them. Chazoel had in him, obviously, as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was destroying Klal Yisrael. But the tefillah helped that he's not doesn't have that much success. But Yezeh B'chaya, that helped in Yahyachaz' life. But Achim Kol Zelachat Eisam Kol Yemechaya. But Kol Zman Yahyachaz was living, he still suffered. There was still lachatz. There was still suffering. But it wasn't the destruction of Klal Yisrael. Later, after Yayachaz is going to die, that's Pasuk Hey. And we'll see as it comes in the next couple of Sukkot. Later on, after Yayachaz dies and his son Yayash takes over, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has the Mashiach. Now they're going to be totally removed from Tachas Yad Aram. So Pasuk Hey hasn't really happened yet. Pasuk Dalid is telling us Hashem listened to him, says the Rabbag, and now that's Slacha Gedoyla that Aram had, they didn't have anymore. But they were still thorns in our side. They made a lot of trouble. Pasuk Hey is telling us later on it's going to happen that there's going to be a Mashiach and we're going to be totally removed from this problem of Aram. So what happened? However, Kedarka Machleisorim Echatzis Beis Yerovam Asher Tez Yisrael Baholach V'gam Asher Am Debeshaimim continued all his problems of Avodah Zarah. And the pasuk tells us, you want to know how bad Aram had destroyed Klal Yisrael? Ki Lahishel Lihayachas. This key is going back on before. Ki Lachas in pasuk Dalet. Ki Lachas Eisam Melech Aram. You want to know how bad Aram hit us? Ki Lahishel Lihayachas Am. You know what's left? Kim Chamishim Parashim, 50 chariots, Vasara Rechev, Vasara Salafim Ragli, these are the different types of officers that they were, Parashim are starting foot soldiers. The Tzarek of his 10 chariots. Aseret Alof and 10,000 foot soldiers. Ki Ibda Melech Aram. Vayisimem Ka'ofer Lodush. Melech Aram has totally destroyed them. And he made them like Ofer Lodush, like Ofer that is being trampled on. This is what success. Obviously, it was a major army, the Malchus Yisrael. And he was left with very little after Aram got rid of them. Yes, so did Riachas Bukalashas and Buras, you want to know about Achas, Yahyachas, go look in the Sefer Divra Yamim, Lamalke Yisrael. Ayishkav Yahyachas and Avaisa, Baikbu Vishainra, Maimuk Yahish, Menaitachtav, now Yahish becomes the king. Mishnah Shleish and Mishav Hashanah, Yahish Melech Yehuda, in the 37th years of Yahish Melech Yehuda, now we're still in, Yahish is still alive over there in Melech Yehuda, Yahyash, Men Yahyachas now became the king in Shaimran, Vayasra, Men Hashem. We'll see that in a moment. We'll get to that in a second. We'll see in Divrei Hayamim that Yayish, in his brilliance, so to speak, decided to make a war with Malchus Yehuda. We'll see that. So this is they fought each other. But in Malachim we gloss over that again. Now this hasn't happened yet, as we'll see in a moment. But the Navi says right away, Yayish died. The Yeravam Yashav Al Kisa, Yeravam, who was his son, took over. But he covered Yayish B'Shar Malchi Yisrael. Now we'll see in a minute. Yayish really hasn't died yet. However, and Rashi says, B'Yeshli Tzmaya, says Rashi, what's going on over here? Why are these two pasukim here? That Yayish died, I'm sorry. In a minute, we're going to talk about Yayish again. He's still alive. So Rashi says, Va'oymer ani, and I would say, we want to make a hefsek, because we're now going to go to Elisha's death. Elisha hasn't died yet. We're going to Elisha's death. We haven't heard about Elisha in a while. He finished his maifsim. We finished off relating all his maifsim. We packaged them into one, a couple of prakim, all his maifsim, even though they were spread out over many years. However, Elisha's going to die, and what's going to happen is, if you just had Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it talks about all of the Avodah Zarah of Klal Yisrael, and then you're going to go, Elisha, Chala, Pasuk Yud Aleph, you're going to put Elisha right next to a Pasuk where it talks about Klal Yisrael serving Avodah Zarah, we don't want to put Elisha near that Pasuk. So therefore, we put two Pasukim in the middle. So if you want to know about Yayish, go read Malchus Yisrael, Malchus Yisrael, and then he died, and he was buried. Okay, we made a two Pasukim hapsik. Now we can talk about Elisha. It's enough of a hapsik between the Pasuk of Avodah Zarah. So what happens? Let's now see the end of the Misa of Elisha. Elisha called, it's called Yoy. Elisha got sick, Asher Yamaspay. This was the sickness that he was going to die from. Vayered alav Yoyish Melech Yisrael. So Yoyish Melech Yisrael went down to him. Vayered kalponam, and he cried. Vayered, and he said, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael parasha. Which is interesting, because this is the same pasuk that Elisha himself used when Eliyahu was nifter, or when he went up to Shemayim. And Yayish went and cried to him and said, Avi, Avi, my Rebbe, my father, Rechav Yisrael uParashav, you are like the Rechav of Klal Yisrael. So he realized, yeah?
If he's the Rosh of Yayish, Melech Yisrael is the Rosh, and people do it with a Zion, and why does he want to
interject
himself
with another? I don't know, because deep down, they were different, I don't know, he must have been Mechabedim somehow, that's what it says here. And saying the Mefarshim really being Aymed on this, like what his connection with him was. So Elisha got sick here, and Yayish went down. Vayamile Elisha. Now see, there's a problem here. The reason Chazal is so successful is because of Elisha's nevuah. Elisha made him the king. He gave him his success that he's going to, pay back Klal Yisrael for their Averis. So if we want to get out of the Tzara of Chazal, we need Elisha, so to speak, to be the one to be Matir, the success, to undo, so to speak, the success that he gave Chazal. Chazal, the Malvim used the Lashon, that, and it's more than that, there's a concept in halacha that certain things a person could accomplish with dibur. For example, let's say you have something, a keli. You want a keli is mekabel tumah. Now, what a keli before it's finished, if you're in the middle of making it, it's not a complete vessel, it's not ready to use, it's not mekabel tumah. A keli is only mekabel tumah once it's ready to be used. So let's say I'm finishing off this, I'm making a pottery, some type of thing, and I'm forming it, and I'm finishing it off, and I say to myself, okay, now it's done, it's a keli. So with dibur, with machshava, I made it into a keli. Let's say I changed my mind afterwards. I say, you know what, I want to start adding on, I want to add on a little handle to it, some pictures, I'm not really done. It's too late. Now even though the way I made it a keli was with my dibur, now I want to take it away from being a keli. Lo'yasi dibur mevatel dibur. Speech cannot come and not go off something that was accomplished with speech. You would think they're equal. I made it with speech, I can ruin it with speech. No. You can make something with speech, but you can't ruin it with speech. If you want to ruin it, you have to do an action. A ma'aseh. If I take this cup that I made and I break it, now it's not a keli anymore. Now it's not mekabel tumah anymore. And I could restart it. So, dibur cannot come and be mevatel and nullify something that was accomplished through dibur. You need an action. So it comes over here, Elisha used his dibur to make Chazal the king, and he gave him the power against Klal Yisrael. Elisha cannot just come along and say, you know what? Turn off the switch. My dibur will be mevatel, will nullify my original dibur. No. He's going to need to do something more to nullify it. That's the lashon. If you look at the Malbim, he says over in Pasuk Tezov, since Chazal's kayak was through the dibur of Elisha, lo yasi dibur mevatel dibur. Speech cannot come and nullify speech. Behutzuch lasis maisa. You have to do a maisa to be mevatel the first dibur. So what does he do? Vayomer lo Elisha. Kach keshes v'chitzin. Now I just want to go back a moment. If you remember long ago, we had, in the end of Malachim Aleph, by one of those wars over there, so we had Yehoshaphat said, all the Nevi'im were saying, the Nevi'im Abba'al were saying, go to war. Right? And Yehoshaphat said, is there no other Navi here? So while they were looking for the other Navi, we had, who was it who made those carne barzel? Sinkiyah ben Kanana, Perakov Veiz, and Malachim Aleph made carne barzel, and he said, Kayamar Hashem be'elu tenaga chazal. You might recall that we said a Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Ramban says there that Nevi'im, it's even like a big machlokes rishonim, but the Ramban says that the Nevi'im, sometimes if they wanted to reinforce their nevuah, that it can never change. So they would do an action along with their nevuah. If you did an action along with their nevuah, so then that solidified the nevuah that it could never be chayzer, that nevuah. And that's when he said the pshat in Tzidkiyah ben Kenana, he didn't just say his nevuah, I mean he was a Navi Sheker, but he knew the game. He made carne barzel, if you do a maisa, so then it solidifies it. The other example that the Ramban gave, and that's a true example, is this case here. Because Elisha, this is a sort of a machlaikas here, but Elisha was not just going to say a nevuah, it's going to be a nevuah with an action. Now the Malbim is telling us the reason he needed an action is not because there was anything wrong with his nevuah. You don't need necessarily an action to make a nevuah real. Nevuah is a nevuah. There were Rishayim that argued on the Ramban there. But the Malbim is telling us because it's a different problem. Dibur cannot knock off a dibur. You need dibur and action to knock off the first dibur. But the Ramban there in Parshas Lech Lecha used this as an example that you see sometimes the Navi, and that's why Avraham Avinu didn't just get his nevuah about Eretz Yisrael. He walked through the land. Hashem told him, walk through the land. You do an action together with the nevuah, that's a whole different level of Haftacha Nekiyum. And as we'll see now, that's according to the Ramban, that's what Elisha did over here. According to the Malbim, it's not necessarily anything to do with any other Navi. There was a special reason because he was trying to nullify his earlier nevuah. Yeah?
So what about like a
Nebula Ra?
If a Nebi does like...
That's the din in that Ramban. What does he mean there? Because a Nebula type is anyways not Chazal.
Right.
A Nebula Ra. So, but a Nebula Ra, a Tshuva always helps. So if I remember correctly, the way the Mefarsha, the Ran argues on the Rambam because of that. And he says he's playing with his idea of Tamuna, where you don't need an action. Every Nebuah is true. But the way it comes out is, and maybe that's what the Rambam himself also means, Lagabe the Goyim, if the Navi wants a Nebuah Laran, never able to be Chayuzah, even though they Tshuva, he'll do
a Maisa.
And that's all the cases. I think if you look at all the cases Rambam brings, it's always Negev the Goyim. All the Nevuahs with an action are Nevuahs L'ra for the Goyim. Avraham Avinu with the Knanim. Here is for the Chazal shall lose his, Chazal is going to be defeated. That's a Nevuah L'ra for him. Let's say he does Tshuva, a Nevuah L'ra could be Chayzer. No, if there's an action, so that could change that. I think that's how it ends up, shot over there in the Ramban. So you shouldn't make the Ramban, you know, missing the boat, so to speak. So what happens over here? So Yoyish is there. So Elisha tells him, Kach Keshes V'chitzen, take a bow and arrows. So put your hand on the bow, grab it. Now Elisha put his hands on the king's hand. So remember, the king's hands are on the bow. Elisha's hands are on his hands. And he says, "Psacha chaloin kedma, open up the window that's facing eastward towards Aram." Vayiftach, and he opened it. Vayomer Elisha yirei. Your Elisha tells him, "Shoot." Vayar, and he shot. Vayomer, says Elisha, Chet Teshuva LaHashem. With this Chet, Klai Yisrael should have a Teshuva, have a Yeshua, a salvation. How should it be? The Chet Teshuva, how should the salvation come? Ba'aram, by hitting Aram, by killing Aram. The Kisas Aram, and this is the Simen. By pointing, shooting the arrow towards Aram, that's the simon of the arrow of Yeshua, that you're going to defeat Aram, ba'afek, in that place afek, ad kale, you're going to totally destroy them. Now this happens to be, Achav had a fight with Aram too, in the days of Achav way before, and it happened to be in the exact same place, in afek. That was where Achav had killed out 100,000 Aramim in that day, in one day. And that same place where they had the Yeshua the first time, Elisha had his Nebuah that they're going to have Yeshua a second time. Now, in Elisha's Nebuah, it said Ad Kaleh. But that was dependent, because we haven't finished yet. And then he told him, you shot one arrow out the window. But now I'm telling you, kachachitzen, take the rest of the arrows, vayikach, took them, vayayimel amalach itzol, hacharza, throw them on the ground. Vayach shalish palmin vayama. And he threw them on the ground, but he only threw them three times. He only threw three times. And Elisha got angry at him. Vayomer said, if he would have continued on throwing arrows on the ground five or six times, Ozi kisar aram ad kale. I told you it's ad kale, so you totally destroy them. But that was dependent on this whole action thing that we're doing here. If you would have continued throwing arrows on the ground, you would have destroyed them totally. But now that you only did it three times, so then you're going to hit Aram, but it's not going to be Ad Kale. You lost out. Yeah?
Why did he tell him this before the...
Well, he understood, Elisha understood that if he told him to do it and he didn't tell him to stop, he's going to continue doing it. For some reason, Yahush decided to stop. But then it was too late.
Tell him if you shoot all the arrows or all five or whatever.
I don't know. That's what happened. So the Radak explains that when it said before, Ad Kalei, Elisha understood in his Nevuah, Hashem told him that if he continues, if he throws all the arrows on the ground, he'll be Ad Kalei. Elisha thought, just like everything else, he was telling him what to do. If he didn't tell him stop, he's going to continue. But for some reason, Yahush decided to stop, and once he stopped, so he lost it out. And therefore, Elisha told him, "Atah sholish pam takazaram." You three times that you threw down the arrows, you're gonna strike Aram three times. but it's not going to be ad kalait. If it would have been 5 or 6, I don't know which one is the ikar number there, 5 or 6, but in more, you would have totally destroyed them. You only did it 3 times, 3 for 3, you'll get 3 times to get to hit them. However, it's not going to be ad kalait. So what happened? Vayamas Elisha, and then Elisha died, Vayikferu, and they buried him. Now Elisha was Klal Yisrael's protection. Elisha was Klal Yisrael's protection, and after he died, the pasuk says, "Gedudei Mayav Yavayu Ba'aretz Ba'ashana." Throughout the year, the Gedudei Mayav, these little bands of Mayavim, would come and into Eretz Yisrael and attack. These little like terrorist bands would come and attack. So Kalman Elisha was alive. His protection saved them, that the Mayavim couldn't do anything. The minute he died, so then they lost their protection and they started coming. Now, what happened? About a year later, Vayihem Kaivermish. They're going and they someone died. We'll see in a moment who this someone is. And they're going to bury him. Bineiroas Agadud. And all of a sudden they see a band of Mayavim coming. So they were in a rush. So what they do? They're passing by Elisha's. Elisha was buried in a ma'ara, in a cave. They figured, we don't have time to dig a kever. Let's just throw him in the cave over there, this guy, in the kever of Elisha. And finished, and we're done. So they threw him in. And he went. He didn't go on his own. But as he was thrown in, he was put in a place where he touched the bones of Elisha. And he was Tzvias HaMeisim, he lived. He woke up, he sat up. Vayakam Araglav, and he got up. And he walked home. So, now, what's going on over here? So, the Radak brings, it's really Chazal, it's a really long Radak here, it's really Gemara, and the Midrashim. But what happened was, they were in a rush. Now, Elisha was buried, like I said before, in a cave. Now, a cave was sealed off, the cave. It wasn't like you could go into the cave. But it's the cave is hollow, right? So therefore, you just have to open up the entranceway, put the person in, and seal it up, right? It takes a lot less time than digging a whole grave or wherever they were going. So that's why they decided they just had to open up the ma'ara, put him in, and they put him in there. Now, they put him in, says the Radak, and he rolled until he hit the bones of Elisha. Now, Chazal says the Radak in his first chat, that this person lived for a very long time afterwards. It was a real Tzvias HaMeisim here. He got up, and he lived. Now, this is a maifis that Elisha, this is his last nace, really, that he's doing, the maifis that he's doing after his death. The Radak says this guy lived, and he had children. Now what's the point of this? Because if you remember, Elio gave a bracha to Elisha that he's going to do pishnai. As many miracles as he did, he's going to do double. Now, Elio had been Mechaya one mace. So Elisha should have been Mechaya two mace. Now we know he was Mechaya, the son of the Shunamis. But where was the second mace? So Chazal tells us the second mace was this one after his death. He was Mechaya this mace. And it was regular Tzvias HaMeisim. The guy got up, and he still had children afterwards, or a son at least. Now, according to this, says the Radak, who was this person? Who was he? So his name was Shalom ben Tikva. Shalom ben Tikva, say Chazal, was from the Gedolei Hadar, and he was v'haya oseh tzedakos. What was the tzedakah used to do? Every day he used to do tzedakah. He would fill himself up a flask of water, and he would sit at the entrance way to the city, and anyone who would come, tired and thirsty from the road, he would give him immediately to drink, umei shivitz nafshay, be mechayim eitzin the person. No one had to start looking for water, he was sitting there with water. Uvizchus had staka isha'asa, and because of this staka that he did, his wife got Ruach HaKadosh. Who was his wife? Anyone know? Chulda HaNeviya, very good. His wife was Chulda HaNeviya, Eisha Shalom Ben Tikva. Uch Hashemeis, and when he was Nifter, Gamlu Kol Yisrael Imai Chesed. All of Klai Yisrael did Chesed with him, and they went to bury him. And on the way, they saw this gedud, this band of Moabim. He's the one, they then threw him into the kever of Elisha. He touched the bones, got up, tchiyas hameisim, went home, and he had a son who was named Hanoma. This
was Shalom?
This, the dead person was Tchiyas Hameisim was Shalom and Tikva.
Then what's Gedud?
No, Gedud is the bandits.
Wait, so what does that have to do with Shalom and Tikva?
He's the one they were burying, and then he's the one who had Tchiyas Hameisim.
Right, but what does that have to do with the bandits?
Well, when they saw the bandits coming, they were going to bury Shalom. When they saw the bandits coming, so they got scared and they threw him into the kever of Elisha. He got tchiyas hameisim and he had a son afterwards. That is one opinion of Chazal. To the other extreme, the second opinion of Chazal is this person was a Rasha.
Can we do
what?
Sorry.
There's a second opinion of Chazal.
Rezak
brings it also, yeah. This person was a Rasha. And the reason, and he was thrown into the kever of Elisha Tzadik. And you're not allowed to bury a Rasha next to a Tzaddik. And a Tzaddik doesn't appreciate the Rasha there. So you know what Elisha did? He wasn't interested in this Rasha being buried there. So he gave him a little injection of Tzias HaMeisim here. Not very, very long. He just wanted him out of the cage. Right? So he got up and he went home. He didn't go home. I'm sorry. He got up on his feet. Fell base away halach. He didn't go home. So he only walked a little bit and then he dropped dead as he went out of the cave. Exactly where? I'm not sure. In order that he shouldn't be buried near Elisha. Yes, yeah, says the Radak says, Yotam in Ara Meis, when he got out of Elisha's cave, he dropped dead right there, and then I guess after they found him there and they buried him. So, the Tchiyas HaMeisim was a very short Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now, according to this opinion, says the Gemara, so where's the Pishnayim? That's a real cheap Pishnayim, you know, if he just gets up and drops dead outside. That's not what Tchiyas HaMeisim is. So the Gemara says, and the Radak brings this also, is that you have to say the Pishnayim is when he cured Naaman from his Tzaras. A Metzairus Chashad Kemeis, a Metzairus considered dead, and by cure it, since Naaman had his Tzaras, Naaman was cured, that is called a Tchiyas HaMeisim. So it's not exactly a real Tchiyas HaMeisim like we have in our mind, but that's enough to be called Pishnayim of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So two separate opinions, Mikata Okata, from extreme to extreme here, if this person was a tzaddik, and, or this person was a Rasha. Was a Rasha, it doesn't say exactly who he was. But I think, if I remember correctly, was that Navi, is that someone else, a different story? Wasn't it some Navi Sheker from before or something? Huh?
Yeah. Used to be an MF,
something like that, yeah. I don't know why the Radak doesn't bring it. Okay. That is that. So now the pasuk continues here in pasuk of Beis. The Chazal Melech Aram Lochet says Yisrael Kol Yimei Hayachet. See, we're going back. So Chazal had oppressed Aram all the days of Yayachas. Vayachan Hashem Aysam, Vayrachamim. Again, we're chazering this over that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis on them. Vayifan Aleim, he turned towards them. Why do you, this is what we explained in the beginning of the parak. Not because Chazal was worthy of his tefillah being Niskayim. The pasuk clearly says, Leman Brisayat Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Because he had a bris with Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov, and this is the bris that, like, call a shevet, that is not going to be, no shevet is going to be totally destroyed. So Chazal dies. Chazal Malach Aram dies, and Ben Hadad his son took over. And Yehoyachaz also died, and Yoyash his son took over. Vayoshev Yoyash Ben Yachaz, Vayikach Hasar Miad Ben Hadad. So Yoyash is the Mashiach. And we said before, Hashem said, I'm going to be making the Mashiach. Elisha made Yoyash the Mashiach by, with this whole thing with the arrows. So the pasuk tells us he went. Vayikach hazar miyad ben adam mechazal shalok miyad yachazal mechama. The cities that the chazal had taken from Yayachaz in war. So ben adad had them now because he was his son, and Yayash was chazal's son. So he went and he took them back. How many times? Shalish pamim mikol Yayash vayashav es ari Yisrael. Three times. That was what Elisha told him. Three times you're going to hit them for the three arrows that you threw on the floor, and three times he attacked, and he got back to Ari Yisrael. Like we said, if it would have been more, Elisha told him, it would have been Ad Kalim. Now, we go back now to Malchus Yehuda for a moment. Bishnashtayim liyayish ben Yayachas Melech Yisrael, Malach Hamatzah ben Yayish Melech Yehuda. This was the end of, where am I here? This was the end of the parak before that we said in the beginning of class. So Amatya Melech Yehuda now became the king. Then Esther Mekal Mishani Malcha. Esther Mesei Shishani Malcha Mishlan. B'Sheimimah, his mother's name was Hayadon Ben. I'm sorry, Yehadon Min Yerushalayim. Bayat Hayashem Eini Hashem Rak Like David Aviv. So his Malchus Yehuda was always better than Malchus Yisrael. So he did the Yashem Eini Hashem, not Mamish like David. Bichol Asherah to Yehishav Evasa. Again, they couldn't get rid of the vomits. Aydam zabkim v'kachim v'vomits. The Kaisel still bringing carbonus on the vomits. And before Pesach, we mentioned this, and the Meshach Achman says this was all the result of Eliyahu Hanavi Bahara Carmel. And when Kaisel saw the Gilu Shechina on Hara Carmel from Eliyahu Hanavi, so this idea that there can't be Gilu Shechina outside the Beis HaMikdash was very hard for them to comprehend. They weren't bringing carbonus here to Avodah Zarah. Bamais are private mizbechos that they're bringing to Hashem. But Kol Zman is the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to do that. But since, why? Because if there's Gilu Shechina in the Beis HaMikdash, you bring a carbon dash in the Beis HaMikdash on your backyard. However, Klal Yisrael had seen Eliyahu HaNavi Vara Karma with the Gilu Shechina on that mizbeach. So it accomplished the Amunah, so to speak, or the Gilu Shechina. Klal Yisrael saw they were never able, as the Meshach Chachma says, and all, even the best of kings, in Malchus Yehuda, who got rid of Avodah Zarah, etc., etc., but the Klal Yisrael should stop bringing carbonus on the bum in their backyard to Hashem. They were never able to do that. That was all a result because of the Gilu Shechina at Eliyahu Vahar HaKarma. It was when the kingdom was strong in his hand. Remember, we said before that those two Amonim Ayavim, they rebelled against his father and killed him. Now he's the son became king. So when he was secure in his kingdom, he went and he killed those people who had killed his father. And one more pasuk, but he didn't kill the children of those who killed his father. Like it says in Parshas Kisete, which we will learn very soon, the children should not die for their father's sins. And we're going to see over there all the different mafarshim, but one of the important, if I remember correctly, quotes this pasuk, and as you see, it's talking about that the minig amongst the Gaisha kings is that anyone who's their enemy, not only do they kill them out, they wipe out their entire family, even if the family didn't do anything to them. But the Torah tells us, no. If there's a reason to be a mired, kill a mired b'malchus, someone who rebels, you're allowed to kill a mired b'malchus, but not his children. And he quotes this pasuk like it says here, Beferish. He killed them. They were mired b'malchus, but not their children. And we'll continue tomorrow.